Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, all seven of us in heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. It's official. The NFL draft class is set for 2022. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the last man who would have returned to Georgia after winning a natty, but shout out Stenson. And with me, as always, is AJ, Garrett Patterson looks good in burnt orange, Marchese,
the king of Texas.
Today, we'll be blessing you with our 2021 NFL Draft Declaration Deadline Bonanza. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft, on fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady, driving out to Vegas, baby, looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Hey, who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Once again, we have no ad. Which means, let's plug sportsdrink.org. The people who allow us to bring you this. What a great team we have at Sportsdrink, AJ. Don't you agree?
The best in the business.
What's your favorite Sportsdrink podcast?
The Nine Club, of course.
Oh.
What's yours?
Seven Rounds in Heaven.
It's okay. I can take it or leave it.
Nah, mine's Banjo College Football. Shout out Andrew Stevens. Speaking of college football.
Yeah.
This is the Draft Declaration Show. We're talking about a bunch of guys who played college football, and now they will not. Because they will hopefully be playing in the NFL. Some won't. That's just how she goes. But before we get to that, we do have three more Senior Bowl acceptances. 2 weeks after Jim Nagy's announcement show.
Nagy is trying to get more players in the combine. I think that's the goal.
That's a good goal. He's trying to make Mobile the new Indy. He thinks he's gonna start hosting the Big Ten championship game and potentially the national championship?
Mobile should get a natty.
You're not going to hear an argument from me. Three acceptances. Southern offensive lineman Jahtir Carter. Tennessee offensive lineman Cade Mays, and Baylor safety, someone AJ talked up not too long ago, JT Woods.
Yeah, I think Woods is the most exciting announcement here.
Can I just say off the top quickly?
Sure.
Carter was one of the earliest declarations.
Yeah.
Redshirt junior. He was coming out of Southern, and he's like built almost like a heavy set tight end, and I just think it's really interesting that he got added.
Okay.
Like he's 275, and I'm just like excited to see what he's gonna do at the Senior Bowl against a pretty good defensive line group, and he's a guy who moves really well. I don't know. I've been seeing a lot of offensive linemen catch touchdowns lately in the NFL, so maybe this guy's the next swing tackle who's just a touchdown machine. But yes, Cade Mays, JT Woods are two fairly strong lead ads, I'd say.
Yeah, Mays obviously was a big prospect going to Georgia, transferred. Never really got it together in Tennessee. I think the glimpses were there, though.
He was banged up a lot. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, he was. So I think that's also, the
year before, Tennessee was just like rotating offensive linemen constantly.
Keeping them fresh. It's smart. No one else in the business is doing it. Genius stuff. And then, but no, for real, I think JT Woods is an awesome ad. Saw some people like time him in like the 4.3s. I think you see like that, like,
really?
Yeah, like, but like on tape, I don't know if he's that fast. But if you watch, the more you watch, the more you realize he's like faster than you think.
Yeah, he's a tall, lean safety who made some big plays for them down the stretch. Yeah. And I'm just, if he's that fast, that's gonna be big. I'm quite excited. Obviously, they've been announcing the teams this week, and I obviously the wide receiver. Corner is like generally the most fun, but the tight ends safety potential matchups we're gonna get,
mm-hmm.
given this tight end group kind of being uncertain, but JT Woods will get to go against potential tight end one Trey McBride, your guy Cole Turner, my guy Jeremy Rucker on that Jets team, along with Jalen Petrie is his teammate from Baylor. I think that's really fun. The potential tight end safety one-on-ones we could get.
Yeah, I'm ready for a senior bowl where tight end safety steals the show.
Is this the one, AJ? It's like a fun safety group,
yeah.
But it's since it's a weak safety class. Like outside of, and I will say the three safeties that intrigue me the most, I think are all on the Jets team with Petrie, JT Woods, and Kirby Joseph. So I don't know how big it'll be, but the tight ends are going to be – there's going to be a lot of eyes on that tight end group because this is the place to kind of – for it to shake out.
I got a lot of tight end talk on this coming episode, Robert. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I got none.
Okay, so I've been doing it all year, so I'm still here for it.
So declaration show. Also, as we come off those Senior Bowl – acceptances next week, Senior Bowl offensive and defensive previews, and then it's Senior Bowl week. The thing is here, it's all here.
It's like,
I don't care about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, me neither. It's like a week later, but it doesn't feel like it. The NFL, they know what they're doing. They warped our time, and we're just living it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
As your new tattoo says, time's a flat circle, Rob.
That is word for word what it says. Shout out Jim Nagy for. If we're able to host Zoom calls, they will be with the coaching staffs of the Lions, Jets, or Senior Bowl staff. That's what I got in my Senior Bowl media package. So maybe or maybe not. Everything's uncertain with Jim.
Who you most want to talk to?
Tyrone Wheatley.
Obviously. I mean, I can't believe you hesitated that long.
Well, I was debating him or Aaron Glenn, who I love.
All your questioning be about Junior.
Oh, of course. How does he gain so much weight to move from a 240-pound tight end to an NFL tackle? I need to know.
It's a great story. We need to explore that more for sure.
Speaking of
tackles,
I don't know, guys who shouldn't have declared when they did. 2021 NFL Draft Declaration Show. Couple categories we'll go through. We'll talk about a couple guys here, a couple guys there. We're going to start with the guys we're most excited that declared. The way I looked at this category was guys who weren't necessarily shoo-ins to declare, or maybe guys I would bang the table for who aren't getting enough love type thing.
My category is bad, so I want to hear what you got first.
Okay, my number one is NC State running back Bam Knight.
Okay, this is better than mine. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bam Knight's one of my, as a lifelong Wolfpack.
Give me a howl.
Defender.
Give me a howl.
Ooh!
That's a good
howl. I love NC State. I love NC State running backs. I loved Nyheim Hines. He's my favorite player in the NFL, probably. Bam Knight wasn't given to declare, though he's been a very consistent threat for the Wolfpack the last couple of years.
Yep.
One of the best kick returners in the country. With Ricky Person leaving, I thought potentially Bam would return, take on that RB1 role. I'm glad he declared because this is a day three guy I want to take who can be that satellite type back that's also a dominant kick returner. He's a lot like Nyheim Hines.
That was a good one. That's a good one. My list, like I said to you, I asked you, I mean, Rob, what'd you feel the worst about which category you said, or whatever it was? You're like, no, all of them are strong. Like, okay, fair enough. I said my excited to declare. I don't know. I didn't have a lot of glaring guys. I'm like, yeah, I'm pumped these guys are in the class. So I kind of just got the big dogs. I'm just happy they're in it. But I'll go with a lesser key big dog. And I'm happy Abraham Lucas is coming out. I don't have – you know what? I think
– I will say I tried to avoid guys who are technically seniors.
Yeah, I know. For the most part, I did too. But
hey, Abraham's a guy we're going to be talking up a lot at the on the Senior Bowl preview, I think.
Yeah, and I feel like he's I'm not going to say he's under the radar because he's definitely not under the radar. But among the top tackles in the class, I feel like a lot of – you know, we've seen a lot of them get like – a first round hype at different points, and it feels like I haven't seen that from him in a while. And I think coming out of the Senior Bowl, he's got maybe when we do our Senior Bowl preview and we do, you know, who comes out of this week as a first round pick, maybe he's on that list for us. So again, like you said, he's a senior, but had eligibility still, so I'm glad he came out.
One that kind of shocked me was redshirt sophomore receiver Sky Moore from Western Michigan.
That was in my surprise they declared.
I'm happy he declared. Because I think he is a guy who's going to really rise up the board as people dig in.
I think PFF, again, not the biggest PFF draft supporter, I think they already have him as a second-round dude, just to throw it out
there. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Like, I was going to say he's got potential to be a top 100 guy, and a guy who I think will really – the hype will come post-February. I think a big combine's coming with him. Dynamic downfield guy who is a clean route runner too. Love that he declared. Love my Maction boys.
Yeah, my excited they declared sucks. I'm gonna give you a big dog. I'm gonna give you big dogs from here on out.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it's lame. No, okay. I think Derek Stingley. I'm excited that he got out of LSU, but I think we've talked about it a little bit, but I think his process is gonna be very interesting because of course he had that terrific redshirt freshman. I guess it was true freshman year, wasn't it? And then the last 2 years hasn't been on the field too much, and this year was fucked. And I don't think the floor is very low for him. I think he's most likely a top 10 pick. But, you know, the medicals in Indy and the testing in Indy are going to be huge for him. And I'm kind of excited to see him in this process. And I think that'll be the determining factor on whether he's going 15th or 5th or 5th. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's... Like, the tape says 5th, but you're right.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him in a while. I'm going to go with a guy who I think we both see as top 15 type of player who you mentioned to me the other day. He's been kind of sliding in the mock world, and he's a big dog. DeMarvin Leal, he didn't quite have the dominant season I was expecting from him, but he had a really great year in a bad interior defensive line class. And... I'm excited he declared because I think he has a chance to be the Christian Barmore steal if he actually falls as far as it's kind of out of nowhere being mocked.
Right. Yeah, now. I'm glad you brought this up. I have no idea where that came from. I think it's just because he didn't have a flashy year, but I think when people dig into the tape and they really watch him, they're going to realize that he's a stud. I mean, and if he doesn't go in the first round like he should, someone's getting like a plug-and-play second-round player with Pro Bowl potential. Like, he's going to be one of the steals of the draft if he doesn't go in the first round. That's for sure. This is purely that I hate Notre Dame, so I'm happy to see Kyle Hamilton not going back. You know Notre Dame is. Sometimes they get the guys to go back and keep playing, you know, oh, win one for the Gipper, blah, 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 blah. No, Kyle Hamilton, fuck that. I'm a dog. I got banged up. I'm getting the hell out of South Bend, and I respect it.
I'm just picking all the big dogs because you just love blue chip talent.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the blue chip guys. I am. I mean,
not me.
No,
I'm like Mike Mayock. I can't draft the first three rounds, but after that, I'm money.
But I'm really excited to see where Kyle Hamilton lands. And I feel like at this point in the process, again, not saying he's flying under the radar, but like I almost feel like people forget how fucking good Kyle Hamilton is. He's going to be a difference maker immediately. For whatever team drafts him, he's going to make a difference on that defense. So again, super early. I'm just happy to see him, and I want to see where he ends up because I think
I want to see how he tests because
and that too.
Seeing a 6'3", 215-pound safety blow up the combine is always
which
fun.
Which is going to happen, yeah.
My next one's Leo Chenal, the Wisconsin linebacker.
I didn't who's
just a truck when he hits you. Shot up the board throughout the season. Kind of a relative unknown entering the year. And I'm just excited to dig in on an old school thumper like that.
I put him for, I think it was biggest money moves.
Ooh, that's a good category for him.
Yeah, because obviously, like you said, just a late riser looking like he's a top 100 lock, a potential second round guy. So yeah, and like you said, just with the rise, I think he's made himself a lot of money, and that's a smart decision. How many more you got?
I got two more.
Me too, and there are other big dogs. The rest of the show is good for me. I totally am mailing this episode in just the beginning. I am excited to get to see Treylon Burks through this entire process, and specifically in Indianapolis. I'm glad. As much as I would have liked to see him go back and have another dominant year in the SEC, I'm very happy to see him in the actual draft class. I'm very excited to see him test. I think he's going to – is he going to blow people away? I don't think so, but he's
– Do you
– Yes.
Do you think – like, I think he's going to test well and definitely it, relative to his size
agreed.
In the explosive categories.
Yes.
Well, how fast do you think he'll run?
I don't know, man. Like, sometimes – like,
do you think he'll run sub 4.5? Because I've seen that.
Sometimes it looks like it, right?
25 pounds.
Yeah, I'm going to put the floor at 4.55.
Because, I mean, you go back to the Alabama game this past year. He outran the whole secondary.
I'm going to put it between 4.45 and 4.55, and that's probably a little. And
you said yesterday you think he'll end up at your wide receiver one.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And then that just might be in my heart rankings. But I don't know, man. Like, what doesn't he do well? Really?
Good
exactly.
question. my next one is Maryland safety Nick Cross,
that's
a guy I've liked for a while. Excited he's coming out. A guy who Maryland, I've mentioned it before, asked to do all kinds of things, including playing like single high when he's born to be a box safety. I want to see how he runs in Indy too. A solid built striking type safety who does a really good job covering tight ends. Sneaky late day two guy, I think, if in this type of safety class, if he tests well.
I like that. Hit me with your last one.
Punt God, Matt Ariza.
That's a good
one. I was excited. It's not often you get like
no
a ridiculous punter like this. The last one that comes to mind is Michael Dixon. How early does Matt Ariza go, and how early is too early, and I mean, I'm excited when we do our punter show in like 8 weeks, because he's just gonna be fun to watch the tape on.
Yeah, I would love to hear. I mean, I'll ask you right now. How high of a pick would you spend on Matt Ariza?
With a guy, when you have a guy who can flip the field like that, like to me, and you're expecting it, like he's gonna come and do it day one. He's gonna do it for 10 years. Like I don't draft kickers, but I believe in drafting punters. And I think the fourth round.
That was the number that I had in my head, too, the fourth round. We see, like, look at the history of fourth round picks. So many of these guys are complete flyers. So many of these guys are reaches. We have the odd steal, like, obvious steal, like, of a slider.
Kyle Trask went in the fucking second round. I can take a punter in the fourth.
Yeah, exactly. And, like we just said, kickers are so much more volatile. Like, he's a sure thing. And now maybe he can kick for you, too. No, he won't, but still.
Are you done?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, surprise they declared. My first one's Iowa running back Tyler Goodson. I just didn't expect it. Mm-hmm. He had a pretty good year for them. And I thought type of guy, if he goes back, has a big year in the Big Ten for an Iowa team that can't throw the ball and leans on the run game, he could really shoot up the board. Good contact balance and burst. Catches the ball fairly well, too. I thought he could be he's a bit of a sleeper in this group, but like I thought if he had gone back a potential guy who maybe could have snuck into that top 10 running back conversation.
Yeah, that's fair. And I was a school that's got a lot of guys that to come back next year too, right? And So I was kind of excited to see Linderbaum not fall into that trap with Jack Campbell and the boys. But no, yeah, that's a good one. Okay, maybe surprise. I had Sky Moore here, by the way, but maybe surprise is not the right word, but with Lincoln Riley coming to town and a lot of hype around that USC program, I think it would have been it would have behooved Drake Jackson to go back to school.
I put Drake Jackson for wish they went back.
Yeah. I mean, again, is it fair to say we're a bit of haters towards Drake Jackson?
No, well, no, because like the talk prior to the season, I thought like you could see him fairly consistently being a top 15 guy getting mocked.
Yeah.
And I think right now no one thinks like
day two.
I don't think top 50 or anything. And he didn't have a great year. And I think you throw on the tape and he's fairly raw pass rusher, really leans on just being bigger and faster than guys, which isn't going to work in the NFL.
And in a wasted year at USC, and
a USC program that would have gotten a lot more attention next year.
Yeah,
Alex Grinch.
Yes,
isn't a. I don't think Alex Grinch is a great defensive coordinator, but I think Alex Grinch would have put Drake Jackson in a role that would have helped his stock a lot more. Like
we've seen Grinch
similar to Nick. Perhaps similar to Nick Benito.
We've seen Grinch get a lot out of his edge rushers. Yeah, I like Alex Grinch a lot. That's a good point. That was my top guy.
That's a good one. Talking Sky Moore, how about other Maction receiver? Khalil Pimpleton, absolutely loved. Yeah. Just could not believe he declared.
No, it's awesome though. But
and I think we talked about it too. Like one of the most dynamic punt returners in the country, big play threat. I think if he had gone back, he could have been that senior Mac receiver. Senior Bowl would have helped him a lot too, potentially. That senior Mac receiver that gets a lot of guys behind him, or fans behind him. But now it's kind of in a deep class where you don't have the benefit of going to the Senior Bowl. I think he could get kind of lost in the sauce a little bit.
I was about to say.
I don't know if he gets drafted. But ooh. I bet I'll have a draftable.
I was about to say, like that, not even the whole class entirely, but he also kind of gets usurped by Sky Moore being in the conference too.
Yeah.
In conference, in state. So I Jackson, I had Pimpleton, I had Moore. Speaking of Jackson, speaking of the West Coast, I'm a bit surprised that Jackson Kirkland came out after a struggle of a year, after having all that hype going into the season and going to Ann Arbor week two and getting embarrassed by Hutch and the boys. And I mean, the one thing I guess, like, you know, just kind of a tumultuous year at Washington.
Can I say that I almost forgot about him until I started putting my notes together. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a redshirt senior, so it's kind of hard to blame him for coming out.
Fair enough, yeah.
Right? Like, I mean,
it just felt like, you know, he had all that goodwill going into the season and kind of lost it. And I don't know, maybe just if Washington can be a little more stable under DeBauer, like, recap.
Telling sign, like, he's not going to be at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Yes. That's a
telling sign.
A big telling sign,
I'll go with a receiver who I'm just shocked didn't want to play another year, Britton Covey. Britton Covey, come on. No, that's a joke one, obviously. But how about a different white slot receiver? Slade Bolden.
Yeah.
Slade Bolden declaring, like, legitimately shocked me, because with Mechie and Jameson Williams gone, a younger group around him, like, I thought Slade Bolden could potentially be that safety net for a Heisman-winning quarterback.
Yeah.
And instead he's coming out, and I just, like, I don't know. I don't think there's that much gas for him right now.
Capitalizing off that that Natty game where you got all the attention. I think it's smart. Never mind. Speaking of cultural playoff participants, we've touched upon this, but I was surprised to see Chris Hinton declare out of Michigan. Does have that pedigree, a big-time five-star recruit, if I remember correctly. I don't know. I thought, like, he could have come back and, like, been the best returning starter on that defensive front, right? And kind of had all the credit there. And just kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, no, I have him here, too.
Yeah, and I got one more, and I don't know how many you got left here.
I just got one, too.
Okay, hit me with your last one.
Alex Wright from UAB, who I absolutely love, and I think the hype is going to come, but it hasn't quite yet. He's 6'7", 270. I've talked about it before. You throw in the Georgia game, he looks like he should be playing for Georgia. I thought had he gone back to UAB, he would have dominated the Cusa. Yeah. And I think we'd be looking at him entering the year as like one of the biggest and brightest G5 prospects, and a guy who could potentially raise his game to the first round.
That's a good one.
And versus right now, it feels like he's still being viewed as a day three guy.
I have a guy that I love in my heart of hearts who's had the love nationally, and the Miami program just tanked. I would have liked to see Bubba Bolden go back and play under Cristobal.
The problem with that too is like he's old. He's
22 now. If he's going to the draft, I think he's 22. He's going to the draft at 23.
That's it'd be a six year though. Like would that's not.
Yeah.
Because he was at USC in 2017, 2018 at JUCO. The last 3 years at Miami.
I forgot about the JUCO year. Yeah. Still though, I mean, I like Bubba Bolden. I would like to see him like finish his career with a good year. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Wish they declared. I wish Zay Flowers declared.
Okay.
I wish Zay Flowers declared because I think he would have been a great Pittsburgh Steeler in the fourth round. Zay Flowers, no, I totally get why he went back. Because that Boston College team just didn't really, once Dracovic went down, they just lost it. But entering the year, he looked like a guy who could maybe have that. Like the way we talk about Jahan Dotson right now,
yeah.
I feel like Zay Flowers is in that similar realm, and maybe as a senior he'll be there.
I put Zay for glad they returned with Phil Dracovic for that reason, because I think he can get there.
I just loved Zay. Like, I think Zay Flowers would end up as a top 100 guy when people got down to the nitty gritty with him and realized the drop off in play had a lot to do with the overall situation.
Yeah.
Because he is such a talented dude.
But I think it's going to happen next year. And he gets the senior bump.
I hope so.
I think he's going to shine there. I got two tight ends, if I may. Josh Wiley of Cincinnati, who I've been a big fan of, has had his glimpses, obviously capitalizing off that great run for the Bearcats. It's a good tight end class, but it's still not a clear tight end class. And I think Wiley, if he declared, he would have been right in that mix as like a potential, you know, third round.
I mean, if Alec Pierce is being talked as a second round dude by Jim Nagy,
that's weird. Like, it's not just Nagy, by the way. It's a lot of people.
I know it's not. I just.
But you watch that pass catching group. I don't know how you come away with not thinking Wiley's the best one.
Who's the other tight end?
Brent Keithy, out of
okay. I was hoping because I put him here too.
Yeah.
Good. Mainly because he's such a specifically interesting type of tight end. I think, like, just the way they use him almost as a heavy slot. They use him a lot. They motion him a lot. They do tight end sweeps with him.
Mm-hmm.
They line him up in the backfield. They play him all over, and they run, like, three tight end sets constantly. I just think he would have brought a really cool flavor to this tight end group.
Yeah, agreed. Right? And Fotheringham is coming out, which is funny.
It's funny because Keithy and Dalton Kincaid both went back, and Kincaid's a guy to keep an eye on for next year too, at tight end. But Fotheringham's just like the true fullback blocking type of tight end. My guy.
Yeah, you're dude. But yeah, no, I'm like I wish he declared because like you just said, it would have been fun for this class. But also, I'm happy he went back because Utah's gonna be a lot of fun next year again.
Yeah, I'll give you a guy who doesn't necessarily have a position, Keaton Thompson from Virginia.
Yeah.
I wish he declared because it would have been a lot of fun to like break down and stuff. And he's going. I think he's six here now. And obviously, this past year was a big glow up year with Brendan Armstrong. He had over 900 receiving yards, plus ran the Wildcat for them, ran for over 200 yards, four touchdowns. I'm just interested to see what he's viewed as at the next level because a guy with that versatility and that athleticism, like he's gonna find somewhere. Like if Tommy Stevens can get drafted, Keaton Thompson can get drafted. And I kind of wonder if can we add a little more weight to Keaton Thompson and look at him as a tight end?
Ooh, interesting. I'm going to go with a skill position guy. And this is an interesting one because apparently he was like hemming and hawing and like didn't make the decision until like in the last week, and he decided to enter the transfer portal. And it's Travis Dye, the Oregon running back.
Who, yeah. His transfer shocked me. Obviously, Cristobal leaves, but...
Yeah, but like when you're...
It was his backfield.
Yeah, exactly. It was his backfield. The transfer is strange, and especially when you're weighing the option of... I think if he comes out, he's a day three back, but gets in a good situation. I think I like Travis Dye a lot. I mean, I talked him up on our last bowl special in his last game at Oregon. So I would have liked to see him just come out instead of transferring. I hope he finds a really fun destination, but... I thought he would have been drafted for sure. And, you know, running backs, once you're drafted, you got your chance.
Well, just to play off that, I'll go with a guy who obviously 2 years ago was one of the best backs in the Big Ten. That's Mo Ibrahim, who got hurt in that opener, was a bell cow in the opener. But I don't know. Like, there's so much tread on his tires already. Yeah, and then,
that's a good point.
And then, like, I get why he goes back, because he probably doesn't get drafted coming off that injury. But I don't know. It just given his position, I think it would have made more sense to come out.
Mo Ibrahim, maybe no one with a tougher decision than him. I mean, that's just a tough spot to be in. Like, for all the reasons you just said, lots of tread on the tire. Looked fucking good before he got that terrible injury early in the season. I don't know where he would have went. I mean, that's tough. But I don't know. I feel like him, like an old school back. He goes back to Minnesota. They lean on him for another year. Yeah, there's a lot of tread. But, you know, like fourth round, fifth round. An old school coach is going to be like, yeah, this is our guy. You know what I mean?
If he could – I mean, Tanner Morgan's going back. So if he can stay healthy, I wouldn't count
together,
it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't count it like a 2,000-yard season if he can stay healthy.
Heisman finalist. You called it. You're right. This is my last one. How about Jordan Battle? I put him too. Yeah, I thought that one kind of surprised me. Again, it's Bama. You go back, whatever, that's fine. Go win the Natty next year, revenge tour, whatever they want to say. I don't get it. I don't know.
It's a bad safety class. It's a bad safety class. Yeah. He is one of the safeties who I think he was overhyped prior to the season.
Yep.
But in this class, he's a potential day two guy, who high IQ guy. I thought he finished the season quite strong.
No, he had a good year. Yeah.
No, but like I think specifically, like, yep, he finished the season, like that Arkansas game onward,
yep,
down the stretch in their biggest games, like he played really well.
Yep.
I'll say Jordan Fuller-esque vibes.
I like that. That was my last one. Who else you got?
Trevice Hodges Tomlinson.
See, okay,
it's a guy I liked a lot over the summer, and it's a really good corner class, and I understand why he went back. I just really enjoyed watching his tape, so I was sad, but ultimately I'm sad now. I'm going to be so happy when he's at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, though I actually gave him a money move. It's a return money move, though, because like you said, the corner class is deep. It felt like all this – I think he had a good year. Again, I wasn't thrown on TCU every year, every week. I haven't broken down
Not until Jerry Kill was that good.
Not until JK got at the helm, for sure, but was having a good year. But just the hype kind of lost, and because they weren't that strong, and I think that's a smart move for him going back.
Yeah, but I'm sad. So.
Yeah, no, that's I totally get it. You're very right. A couple
guys I wish went back. Justin Ross, it just seems like he should have gone back.
Yeah,
but I also understand the perspective of, like, he had this dominant freshman year. He looked great as a sophomore. And then, obviously, had to sit out last year. And then came back this year and didn't look the same. And that Clemson team in general didn't look the same. I just would have loved to see him kind of use that senior season to get himself back on track. I just don't know where he's going to be. I don't see any way he goes in the first three rounds at all. Yeah, it would have been nice to have a big senior year plus Senior Bowl and all that.
I totally agree. I put him here, too. And Just to fill time here, I did put Pickens and Mechie. And I know the situations are different.
I put Mechie, too. Yeah. I didn't put Pickens, but I put Mechie probably for a similar reason.
Yeah, I mean, we've already talked about Slade Bolden coming out. Obviously, Williams coming out. That whole wide receiver group is his. I mean, just a bunch of young dudes. Even before the injury, it felt like that. You know, he never got cooking this year like he was supposed to. Well,
he was playing so strong in those late games.
Yeah.
Arkansas and Auburn, and then prior to the injury,
it was just coming.
Awesome against Georgia, yeah. And it was great momentum heading into the combine and everything, but the ACL really kills him in that respect. But like, he's still gonna go on day two.
Like, it's really not gonna hurt back, his stock that much. Yeah.
No, had he gone back, I just like you see that first round potential.
Yeah, I think it was like the difference between him going 60 to 80 right now, maybe 50 to 80 to be safer. And if he went back, I think he would have been going 20 to 40.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I put Drake Jackson here. We already talked about him. Penn State linebacker Brandon Smith, who
it's a good one.
Him and Jack Campbell were both hyped as, oh, these are the two next Big Ten linebackers who could really be first-round guys.
Both guys started the year great, too, by the way.
Yep. And they both kind of simmered down the stretch.
Yeah.
And I don't really know where Brandon Smith's stock's at right now, but I can tell you in this deep linebacker class, it would have been great had he gone back.
Yeah.
And like Jack Campbell did. That's not to say he won't end up as potentially like a late third round type guy, betting on that potential, but I was just kind of surprised to see him declare, especially when comparing it to Jack Campbell returning to Iowa.
Yeah, that's a good one. Just to touch on Pickens quickly, you didn't put him. Again, obviously coming.
I put him somewhere else.
Okay, we can save it then. Fuck it. I'll go with Penn State teammate Rashid Walker because I just thought he had a really bad year. Had that hype going into the season. He might. I think Dane Brugler still had him in the second round, which I couldn't believe really after struggling mightily this year. So if he goes in the second round, I was wrong. Good work, Walker. Yeah. He made that money. But I think like if he goes back, just I don't know. It just felt like from week one, the season didn't feel right for him. I don't know what it was. He needs another year of maturation in college, I thought. But hey, if he goes in the second round, good for him.
My final one's Mikhail Wright, the corner from Oregon, who
that's a good one.
He entered the year as a potential top 10 corner, potential first round corner for some. Former blue chip recruit, extremely athletic. You saw the potential. He struggled throughout the season. Like even in the Ohio State game, he had a really bad game and
got caught napping.
And I know that obviously the turnover in coaching staff at Oregon leads to guys declaring sometimes. But I would have loved to see him go back or even hit the portal, go down to Miami, follow Mario. But because now he's a guy who I feel like his name's kind of been lost a bit.
That's a good one. Yeah. It was so lost for me that I almost forgot about him. My last guy, I talked to him not too long ago. I know it's different for running backs, but after coming off that really nice finish and looking healthy down the stretch, and with all that momentum around the South Carolina program, I would have liked to see Kevin Harris go back and kind of tear it up his senior year for the Gamecocks.
That's a good one.
I think he ends up being a bit of a steal. The pedigree is all there. Talented as hell. Big dude. But just, like, I know the running back class isn't that strong, but it's it's thick through the middle. Kind of like Kevin Harris is. And I think if he goes back, he kind of would have helped himself more. And I think him and Rattler in the backfield, like, I think he would have a lot of opportunities.
I'm with you on that. For biggest money move, I thought Matt Corral's the biggest money move.
Okay, just lay it on me.
He is not a first-round quarterback.
Yep.
He started the season really hot and feels like he's riding the momentum wave of the start of that season.
Yep.
And he is one of the, I think, just pure talent-wise, clearly one of the most talented guys with kind of a higher ceiling than a lot of these other guys. Mm-hmm. So I think he's potentially cashing in on being in a weak quarterback class, being a first round pick. Whereas if it was next year's class, I don't know if that happens.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good one. I mentioned I had Travis Hodgins Tomlinson here. I had Leo Chanel here. My top guy though is David Ojabo, who, you know, kind of an interesting conversation with potentially going back and becoming a better football player and playing the run better and being the alpha dog for that Michigan defense. And having all the spotlight, but why fuck around and do that when it looks like you're gonna be a top 15 pick? Like, just come out, blow up the combine, go top 15, and cash in Ojabo, the king of Scotland. I love it. What a year. What a story. I'm excited to see him in Indy and his career.
Yeah, I put him here too. That's a good transition to Nolan Smith, who I put here, Money Move Returning.
Yeah, I put as like my top going back.
Yeah, because he obviously was kind of the sixth, seventh guy you talk about on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the talent to be one of the top guys, top senior defensive players in the country next year, especially if he's now the featured player on the Bulldogs D outside of Jalen Carter. So I think going back, because it felt kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
And I think he would have tested really well. He's a former like top 10 recruit who this year was really his first time having major playing time. So I love that he's going back to school.
My last two are both tight ends. I told you lots of tight end talk. One who came back and one who went back. One who's coming out, one who went back. One who came out, Isaiah Likely. I think him, you know, leaving Coastal, getting out of Dodge, capitalizing off that monster year. I don't know where stock is right now, but I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be up there. He's going to be up there. You can't ignore that talent, I think, point blank. And I think, I wasn't sure where to put this guy, but I knew I wanted to talk about him. I think Sam Laporta finishing the season really strong, going back to one of the tight end U's of Iowa, I think that's a money move for next year's class. I think he's going to be viewed as a top three tight end going into the season next year. I think that's smart for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I put George Pickens here. Because okay. George Pickens obviously played in four games this year, never caught more than two passes in any of them.
Great catches.
Yeah. I think it was a money move for him to come out 10 months after the torn ACL.
Yeah.
Never really living up to the hype necessarily that came with a really strong freshman year.
Yeah.
And being a huge recruit. But a guy who I think is going to still end up day two for what he could be.
Yeah, he probably will. You know what I mean? Like, I really just wish he went back to really capitalize on all he can be. But no, he's going to go in the second round or the third round. And yeah,
I got a couple more. Charles Cross, because I think in other draft classes he would be more of a outside the top 10 in the between like 10 and 20. But because this class is weak, I think Charles Cross has a good chance to be a top 10 pick, especially because it's weak on offense. Like, I mean, that goes for Evan Neal, Ikey Ekwonu, and yeah. him. Yeah. All three of them could go top 10. And I don't know, outside of wide receiver, like, I don't know a quarterback's going top 10, right? I don't think one should. So, but teams who need help on offense are going to then, I think, lean to the offensive line where a guy yeah. like Charles Cross can cash in.
Yep.
Jareth Stearns, because he understood that if he goes back to Western Kentucky without Bailey Zappe, he's not going to have the Conference USA receptions record. He's not going to get near 2,000 receiving yards. Jareth Stearns, I don't know where he goes, but it wasn't getting better. So it was smart what he did. And then Brandon Joseph, returning and transferring to Notre Dame from Northwestern.
Yeah.
After, like, we looked at him as a late first-round potential guy over the summer. Northwestern overall was ridiculously awful. It's shockingly on defense. Went 3-9. He then transfers to Marcus Freeman's Notre Dame, where Kyle Hamilton's gone. Well, guess what? Who gets to step in and be the potential do-it-all DB? That's Brandon Joseph.
Yeah, no, I totally forgot about that one. That is a top one. That's like the biggest transfer money move for sure.
Speaking of transfers, who made the most of it? Spending one year
overlap here. Yeah, sorry, guys.
Yeah, definitely. Guys who spent 1 year, used the portal, spent 1 year to boost their stock and got out into the NFL draft. There's a lot of guys use the portal really well this year. I think the number one guy being, there's a couple guys you could argue is mm-hmm. the number one guy, but I'll argue this guy because I don't think he had any chance of getting drafted had he not done it, and that's Bailey Zappe.
Yeah, that's. I think you could argue him as number one for sure. And
he threw for 5,900 yards and 62 touchdowns in his 1 year at the FBS level,
yep.
running that air raid for the Hilltoppers. And now he's at the Senior Bowl, and he could be the first quarterback taken on day three.
I hope he is, man. I'm cheering for Bailey Zappe. with all my heart. You know, we both would have had draftables on him if he stayed at Houston Baptist. Houston Baptist.
Oh yeah,
but don't matter. He didn't. What a money move. Definitely, definitely a good pick here.
A lot of good picks. You know what was also a transfer in terms of coaching money move was Zach Kittley. Yeah. Being the first one to go to Western Kentucky, and turn that into the Texas Tech OC job.
Yeah, no, smart. Okay, how about Kenneth Walker going to Michigan State?
Yeah.
Blowing it up. Being RB1 right now, I think. Maybe not first round pick, but.
You know what's funny? There's a guy at quarterback, receiver, and running back who all.
Yeah.
Were starters at their previous school, but not. Not all world. I mean, Zappy was just given the level of competition, but
yeah.
And all three have turned themselves into a potential first round wide receiver, a potential first running back off the board, and a potential, I mean, Gardner Minshew-esque type quarterback prospect. Yeah. Which, I mean, I think that's really impressive. That's using the portal for what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. And if Walker didn't get hurt in the last couple of games, probably would have been in New York. Right, he was after the Michigan game. People were like, "He's got the Heisman,"
yeah.
And then he kind of just fizzled because he got banged up. What a move! And it was right off the bat. That's awesome. We both loved him. I think again, the only issue with Kenneth Walker's season is what uniform he was wearing. I think, right, Rob? But everything else is amazing.
Yeah, I would have loved him at NC State. Right,
perfect.
The receiver I was talking about was obviously Jameson Williams, who even despite the torn ACL, I think. As long as it checks out in Indy, he's going to end up in the first round because that's how electric he was for Bama all year, both as a downfield guy and after the catch. So even the fact that he could tear his ACL this late and still be viewed as a first-round guy, that just says how much he did.
Yes.
And another receiver being Wandale Robinson.
Yeah, that was my next guy to go to, too.
Yeah.
No, totally. I mean... what a perfect situation for Wandale Robinson, and ended on such a great high note against Iowa in the bowl game. And
he was this tweener at Nebraska for 2 years. He wanted to be viewed as a true receiver. Goes to Kentucky, and catches over 100 passes. Also, Liam Cohen did a really good job as their OC in year one.
Jamin Mouths?
Jelani Woods, I thought, was a good low-key one.
That is a low-key one. I got two more in there, not low-key. So, okay, that's an interesting one.
Well, anyway. I got to get in the tight end combo. A 275-pound tight end who didn't play a ton, obviously, in that Oklahoma State offense, goes to Virginia.
That's a good one.
Has near 600 yards, 8 touchdowns, and is a potential late day 3 tight end.
Looked like a moose with the ball in his hands in space. I loved it. Yeah, definitely. How about Arnold Ebiketie?
That's a big one. Him and another edge rusher.
Okay, yeah. Ebiketie, I mean, going to Penn State. I think, I don't know where his stock is now, but it doesn't matter because he's made so much money for himself.
Yeah, and, the Senior Bowl, too.
I think he's
going to be great. Going to Penn State got him into the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
And another guy who's going to be at the Senior Bowl with him who could have potentially put themselves in the first round this past year is Jermaine Johnson at Florida State, coming from Georgia.
You know, this one crossed my mind, but what do you think would have happened if he stayed at Georgia? Do you think, he would have gotten opportunities down the stretch, wouldn't he have?
Well, yeah, I mean, he was playing 40% of the snaps last year.
Yeah.
And Azeez Ojulari was gone. Obviously, the Adam Anderson
situation
would have got him more playing time, too, on top of that. I also think he would have been playing more snaps over Nolan Smith, too.
Yeah, so it's if he stayed, I think it would have worked out for him, but also moving to a shit school worked too.
Yeah, he got more, I think he gets more credit for what he did on a bad Florida State defense than he would have on that Georgia defense.
Yeah, which is pretty interesting. No, I think that's an interesting one. And hey, funny enough, I'll finish off with Darian Kendrick, who, interesting move, obviously. It was a weird, weird offseason from last year, jumping from Clemson to Georgia. Maybe didn't get the credit, but then he did down the stretch. I don't even think he was that good in the Orange Bowl, but alas, MVP.
The Senior Bowl is going to be, I think, a big moment for him. Because I don't think, he was fine, I think, for a great Georgia D, but I don't think he was as good as his talent says.
Yeah, but I think the Georgia D insulating him helped his stock to this point.
Yeah.
And being on that shitty club, well, I shouldn't say that.
He's a big.
Shitty.
He's a big. He's got Trevon Diggs type vibe in terms of, first of all, former wide receiver.
Yes.
Second of all, like he gets burned, but he also makes big plays.
Yeah, I don't think like he would have came out smelling this good at this point if he stayed at Clemson. I think Booth would have left him, you know what I mean? Like, irregardless. Yeah. So I think
Mario Goodrich had a great year for Clemson, dude.
His move was great for Goodrich, too. Yeah, so I think when it all said and done, it worked out really well for Kendrick.
All right, a couple guys who you're glad they returned. I'm going to start with Aeneas Smith, one of my favorite players over the summer.
Yep.
Given Haynes King's injury, didn't have the big statistical glow up. They used him far less in the run game, too. And he became kind of like the safety net possession type guy. Really good punt returner, too. But now that he returns, Isaiah Spiller's gone. I think Aeneas Smith's going to be the plus Max Johnson transferring from LSU. I think the A&M passing game is going to be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Watermeyer's gone. Aeneas Smith's going to be the go-to dude. I'm excited to see what he does. I feel a Wandale Robinson-esque statistical season coming.
That's a good one. My top one was Nolan Smith, who we talked about in Moneymakers. I had Dracovic and Flowers here too, running it back at BC, but that's just for my heart. how about I got a couple more. How about a low-key one? Didn't expect him to come out, but down the stretch, Siaki Ika was a monster for Baylor.
Yeah, no, if he had come out, I think we talked about it a couple times. If he had come out, like, we thought he was going to really shoot up.
Yeah, I think it would have happened, but I think him going back to Baylor another year with old Dave there is going to just really ignite his stuff. I think over the summer he's going to be...
Especially given how strong he played down the stretch, like, he's going to be, like, mocked in the first round.
Exactly. That's what I think is going to be. When he's going to be that classic nose tackle. You're seeing him in the 20s every single mock draft you open July.
And then factoring into, like, all the big names on that defense are off to the NFL. Yeah. Terrell Bernard, Jalen Petrie, JT Woods. Like, all these big dogs are gone. I guess the poster boy for this team next year.
Yep. So I like that one a lot. Even though, I just said, what if Rose, if he came out?
The guy I thought you'd go first right off the bat is Dante Dimas.
He's my next guy, yeah.
Okay. So, obviously, a guy we both loved over the summer. We viewed as a potentially one of the best, if not the best, senior receivers in the country. Ridiculously fluid route runner for a 6'3 pass catcher.
Yeah.
Tore it up. Maryland played great football off the bat. They were 4-1. He gets hurt in that Iowa game. They lose. He says he's coming back as he's being carted off.
Yeah.
But 500 yards in five games. Like, Dante Dimas, I think, has a really good chance to be dominant next year.
Yeah, and if he came out, he just would have been lost in this class, and that would have fucking sucked.
I don't know if he'd be lost, but I think he goes from being a potential third to a potential first-round guy.
Okay. I think if he came out, he wouldn't have been a top 100 guy. If he came out this year, should he have been? Probably. Would he have been? I don't think so. But I agree with you on the potential first round talk next year, though. I'll jump. Another guy that had the potential first round talk going into the season, struggled going back. He'll probably have it again. Yeah. Arky safety Jalen Catalon.
The fact that you said this, I said, yep. I thought you were saying a totally different guy, but I agree.
Who did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say Zion Nelson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually didn't put him down, but it crossed my mind. That's a smart move, too.
But you can talk about them both similarly in that.
Yeah.
They both showed the traits the year before.
Yep.
Catalon obviously got hurt, but he was playing really poorly on a good Arkansas team.
Yes.
Zion Nelson just didn't really take that step.
Yeah. But, both similar, smart moves from both of them. I'll stick at the offensive line. Almost similar. Like, he had some love. Nick Broker from Ole Miss. Who?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, almost forgotten. And I saw him on. I think Jordan Reed wrote a little article about like the top guys for the top 25 schools going back. I'm like, almost forgot about Broker. I think that's a smart move going back and kind of just trying to reignite that stock for the Rebs, and that team's gonna look a lot different next year. But I think still smart.
Can you send me that Jordan Reed article? That sounds like an interesting read.
Sure.
Thank you. Love Jordan Reed. I'll go with a dude who was at Michigan, transferred to UCLA, had a great year, but a lot of the hype came early. UCLA kind of struggled down the stretch, but he finished strong. I think he's got a chance to be an absolute monster next year for Chip Kelly, and that's Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah, Charbonnet is an interesting one. I mean, I think it's just because the position. If he wasn't a running back, I'd be like, yep, great, smart move. Like, I still think you're right. Like, he's a good back. That surprised me. That honestly, I probably should have put surprise. I went back.
Big chance to be like viewed as a top senior back, though.
Yes, for sure. I mean, Charbonnet is a good back.
Yeah,
got two more Big Ten boys, baby. Chris Ottman Bell running it back with the Gophers. With Morgan and company, with Mo and company. Back. I love it. I love it. That makes me
Minnesota,
happy.
Call it Minnesota playing the Big Ten Championship?
Playing. Try winning, buddy. Lock it in.
Wow.
He was good. I mean, he lost his team a bit.
But he's good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think him going back is going to work out big time.
But not with Tanner Morgan also coming back. He went back thinking Tanner Morgan was gone.
Probably.
Who's your other Big Ten guy?
Riley Moss. I just want to see him play more football for the Hawkeyes.
and off that, I'll say Jack Campbell.
Yeah, that's actually a smart one for him.
Jack Campbell's going to have like 200 tackles.
Yeah, probably. Probably. That battle in the West between Minnesota and the Hawkeyes. Oof.
Going to love it. Staying in the Big Ten, DeJuan Jones, the Buckeyes right tackle, who's just a mammoth of a man, had a really strong year. I think he actually, down the stretch, outplayed Nicholas Petitfrère.
Yes.
But DeJuan Jones, who announced himself that, like, via Twitter, he in third person that he was going back to Columbus, I think he's going to get a lot of love for, like, just what he could be with that size and how physical he is. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch over the summer.
Yeah, no, that's a good one because I think he's going to be right up there in, like, the top of the group going into next year.
Are you done?
That's it. You got anyone else?
ZTP.
Yeah, that's a
good one. Who I don't think we expected, but, like, 7 sacks last year in 3 games, then gets hurt before the year, kind of plays in 2 games a bit, but doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
I thought the year before, in 2020, in this COVID year, like, he looked really good, like, And I'm just glad he's going to be back. And I just really hope he returns to form because he was a lot of fun.
That's a good one. No, that's a great one to end the show on.
I was going to give you 2 quarterbacks that I was just going to ask you if they'll both be at the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
Is that okay? Is that good enough to end the show on?
Yeah, that's a perfect way. You're right. Even better way. You just keep topping yourself tonight.
Both from the SEC.
Okay.
Tennessee's Hendon Hooker.
Yes, he will be at the Senior Bowl.
But by the way, both are transfers. Kentucky's Will Levis.
Probably. I'm probably at the Senior Bowl. I saw a mock that had him in the first round, which is crazy talk, but it doesn't matter. Hooker's a lock. Levis probably, yeah.
There you have it, folks. We're already looking ahead to the 2022 Senior Bowl for the 2023 draft. But we'll take a step back and look at the upcoming Senior Bowl next week.